What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me wise. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Good morning. Welcome to a radio message of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. We are a new church on the Eastern Shore of Virginia that has a mission to glorify God and make disciples by using Bible-centered teachings to build a community who worships God, grows in His Word, serves others, and plants churches. You can join us for our weekly prayer meeting and Bible study on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock p.m. at 17691 Holly's Church Road in Keller, Virginia. If you have questions or have prayer requests, please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. Now, let's get into this week's message. I pray you and your family is blessed by the teaching from God's Word.
Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III. Today we will continue in the teaching series through the book of Ephesians. In today's message, the scripture focus is on Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. The title of today's message is No Longer a Mystery. In these verses, we will see how Paul writes to the Ephesians and to us today about the mystery that God has graciously revealed to him and the role that believers in Jesus Christ have in sharing that mystery. Before the message, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who is above all and knows all, thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. At this time, I ask you, grant us your peace and wisdom to hear your words through scripture, to know you better and apply it in our lives. I pray you give me the ability to effectively communicate your message, and I pray the ability of your people to understand and receive your message this day. All things I ask in Jesus' name, amen. We all can think of a time we have been left clueless or just couldn't figure something out. It may have been where a specific puzzle piece went on the board, where to find a lost tool, or what was the next step you were to take when completing a task. Regardless of the situation, it may seem like a mystery, a secret that you may not have quite figured out yet, and this without a doubt will leave any person frustrated as time passes. Well, there's another mystery that is the topic of discussion, and is found in the scripture text of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. This great thing about this mystery, God reveals what this mystery is and how the body of Christ, the church, can enlighten others of this great revelation. Please, if you would, get your Bible, paper, and something to write with, and follow along. I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, which says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." Verse 8, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of all the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul starts in verse 1 saying, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." Paul, in the previous part of the letter, has just reminded all believers that we were once separated from God, have now been reconciled to God by Christ, and as a result, are also reconciled to one another to be a new man in Christ. Let us not forget that Paul was in actual prison while writing the letter to the Ephesians. But his use of the word prisoner here is not to describe his actual physical state of being in prison, which could be a burden, but rather to focus on the privilege of being a prisoner in the spiritual sense to King Jesus. Regardless of the suffering, Paul counted it a privilege to suffer on behalf of Christ, and we can find accounts of this in several places in the Bible, such as in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, where Paul wrote to the people of Philippi. He said, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Paul is a great model of what it looks like to follow the will of Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ should take the same posture. Follow Jesus no matter what, no matter the cost. If you're following along in your Bibles, you more than likely will see a line after the word Gentiles that looks like an extended dash. This line is to symbolize a pause or a shift in direction. Here, Paul, after reflecting on his status of being a prisoner of the Gentiles, then he seemingly has some type of breaking thought, and it goes on a long parenthesis of sorts in verses 2 through 12. For example, have you ever been in the middle of telling a story and then realize that you have to take a brief pause and go into a deeper detail about another topic in order for the person to truly grasp what you are talking about? You may say something like, "Wait a minute, let me explain this part first, and then I will pick back up where I left off." This is what is going on here. We know this because in verse 13, it is a direct connection to verse 1, where Paul tells the people of Ephesus not to lose heart due to his present troubles, namely him being in prison at that current time. Paul begins this long parenthesis of sorts by saying in verse 2, "If you have indeed heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge and mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel." Paul is telling the people that God in his divine plan has saw it fit by grace to allow the apostle to be part of this big reveal of what the mystery is. In fact, Paul says that he has already written about this mystery previously when he first began his letter. The word mystery is used 3 times in the verses 1 through 13 alone and is important to define it. During that day in Ephesus, the practice of magic and sorcery were practiced widely by the pagan worshipers, which meant that most of the current believers in the church of Ephesus would have had some background in that previous lifestyle. And reading of this word mystery that Paul talked about may have put them in a state of thinking that it would never be revealed what the mystery was. There is a big difference here of the use of the word mystery here versus the people of Ephesus may have been accustomed to. God had revealed that he would gather all nations unto himself in several Old Testament passages, such as Isaiah 43:9, which says, "Let us all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled." And also in Isaiah 66:18, which says, "It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." The mystery that is the center of all of this is plainly laid out in verse 6. Don't miss this. It says that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. This revealing of this mystery is huge because through Christ's work on the cross, it not only provided a path of salvation for anyone who would choose to believe, but also Christ's work on the cross united Jew and Gentile as one man. Before this time, there was a huge divide and extreme animosity between the Jews and Gentiles. If you remember, Gentiles were any nations that were not of Jewish descent. Jewish tradition had stated that the Jews were God's chosen people and that his blessings were exclusively for them. Instead of being grateful of being recipients of this great status of being God's chosen people, they instead were very contentious and arrogant to the other nations outside of the Jewish heritage, specifically these non-Jewish people called the Gentiles. The mystery reveal is that Gentiles are now made partakers along with the Jews of God's great blessings in the church. This revealed mystery that had not been made known in the previous ages, but now has been made known by the Spirit to the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament, once and for all stated that the Gentiles and the Jews, in essence, are no longer separated types of people, but now one new man in Christ Jesus. Paul understood the magnitude of this assignment that God had given him for this message, and he was accused of working with the Gentiles by fellow Jewish counsel, but it did not affect his ministry. In fact, this was the reason why he was in prison in the first place, if you recall. God had granted Paul the understanding of the mystery and demonstrated his gratitude by sharing that message faithfully, how through Christ the Gentiles could now benefit from the blessings and promises of God. That is an important principle that we can learn and apply in our lives, which is we should all faithfully seek God's grace to know and understand the work of Christ. Again, we should all faithfully seek God's grace to know and to understand the work of Christ. Please understand that the people of God are not to seek God's wisdom for knowledge and revelation for personal gain or selfish ambition, but as a faithful vessel willing to do the work of Christ. Let us not forget what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Specifically, speaking of this mystery revealed in these scriptures, believers today are to faithfully share the message that the promises of God are for all people. And regardless of race, creed, or tongue, believers are all united as one new man. We are to pray and fully practice the unity that Christ has ordained for his church. Practically, what does that look like for the believer today? For starters, we should pray to God to remove any wrong thinking about others of another race or culture, and instead plant right thinking and a biblical view of how we see others. It is true we should treat all people, regardless of color, with due respect. It is even more important to continuously seek unity within believers because of the new man that we are now in because of Christ. Paul continues on by acknowledging that he is a servant to this mystery in verse 7 by stating that he is a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul says that by God's favor and power that he is only able to make this truth known that Jew and Gentile are now one new man in Christ. Paul stressed he is only made aware of this mystery only by grace, and he humbly states in verse 8 where he says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given." Paul, who once persecuted Christians, understood his past and how God had saved him and would write about his testimony in a few of his other letters in the New Testament churches. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul here is genuinely humble, unlike how some of us can fake humble at times. Someone can offer us a compliment and we pretend to deflect the praise or talk lowly of ourselves just for the sole purpose to hear even more compliments to feed our egos. But Paul in his humbleness is a great example to any person in the faith, especially someone who is in leadership in the body of Christ. It is important for Christian leaders to work hard to steer away from pride and take a posture of humility at heart. Humility is the only posture to be an effective servant leader of the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, understanding the purpose that God has for your life is a great way to help us stay humble. Paul understood his assignment, which we see in the second half of verse 8 and verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul notes that his assignment is to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. In addition to faithfully seek God's grace to understand the work of Christ, another principle to learn and apply from this passage of scripture is that the Christian should faithfully proclaim the riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. This word unsearchable means that the depthness of the riches of Christ cannot be sought out by human wisdom or efforts, but rather it can only be given by the Holy Spirit. These unsearchable riches of Christ, in which we become aware of in God's timing, we should treasure these truths. Just think about keepsakes and family heirlooms in which we like to hold dear to our hearts. In fact, so dear to our heart that they can often cause a divide or start rivalries between family members. It can be a treasured family portrait, a set of dishes, an antique car. The list can go on and on. The point is that the level of value that we think these earthly riches may appear to have, it actually is absolutely nothing compared to the riches of Christ. The value of Christ cannot be measured by no means. It should be understood, but it must be stated because it's not always the case. Christ should be preached constantly by spiritual leaders. Pastors or Bible teachers should never get tired or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should not fear that our preaching will be boring if we continuously talk about Christ. If the preaching is boring, it is not Christ because he is never born. It is yourself who is the one who is born. Christ's glory is unsearchable. For this reason, preachers would never run out of material in talking about Jesus. Preachers should passionately preach Jesus. Preaching Christ is not just for the pastors and teachers only either. All believers should preach Christ. The gospel of Jesus should constantly be on the minds and in our conversations. We should be delighted to share about the birth, ministry, death on the cross for our sins, resurrection, and the continual reign of Christ to any and everybody who will listen. In our homes, on our jobs, in our schools, in our social settings, and even to ourselves. Yes, we should talk about Christ to ourselves. His riches are just that sweet. We should all faithfully seek God's grace to know the work of Christ so that we can faithfully preach Christ as individuals, but there's a larger aspect of this in regards to the entire church as a whole. And using the word church, now know that I'm referring to the people as a collective believers in Jesus Christ, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Don't miss what verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3 of Ephesians tells us. It says that the purpose of this mystery is for the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose with which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This leads to yet another principle to take to heart and apply. The church has to faithfully make known God's manifold wisdom to all of God's creation, both in the physical and spiritual realms. This means that the church, talking about the people, being made a new man in Christ, have the amazing privilege and ability of making God's manifold wisdom known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In regards to principalities, it refers to the angelic beings as well as the demonic beings in the spiritual realm. This is so important for the people of God to get. We must properly understand what the church is, the role that the church has, particularly laid out in this passage, and how the church can live this out even today. Firstly, the church is not the building. The church is not about going to a place, hearing our favorite music, hearing a message to make us feel good and fuzzy on the inside, and check off some moral obligation on our weekly checklist. Not at all. The church is the people. So our focus should always be about the people and never a building or some type of ministry platform. Christ has created a new man, both Jew and Gentile as one. For us to in today's age, it means that regardless of who we are, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of the native of our tongue, regardless of any cultural difference, the United Church makes God's manifold wisdom known. To drive home this point, don't miss the word manifold that is used to describe wisdom. The word manifold in the Greek means many varieties or marked with a great variety of colors. Don't miss this connection of how Paul phrases this. This is a huge indication that God's wisdom was only be fully manifested in the physical and heavenly realms by churches that are comprised of diverse people groups of many colors, of many cultures, and many ethnicities. Have all been called, redeemed, forgiven, made alive, and united in Christ. The question is, how does the church do this? How can the church foster fellowships that are diverse and united, especially in a divided world? A divided world that have disagreements on many different levels and more serious issues such as social justice or sanctity of life, even down to the menial issues such as who are the best sports teams. Let us not miss the fact that God chose to use the church to reveal his wisdom, specifically that God's design is for a unified church. There is no place for walls to be within the body of Christ. Christ shed blood on the cross, took down those walls once and for all. If we, the church, put any barriers up or have things in place that will hinder unifying individuals across cultural backgrounds, we are committing sin and must repent immediately. Although we must acknowledge that we do not live in a perfect world and that we are imperfect people, even Christians still are imperfect and still miss the mark. We have to work diligently to pursue unity. It is a mandate. Remember that our differences physically are only a reminder of how creative and how our Creator, God, wonderfully made us. Let us not lose focus on what verse 11 reminds us, which is the eternal aspect of the whole thing. Furthermore, Paul reminds us that we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Christ. As individuals, we can boldly pursue racial and cultural harmony by boldly sharing the gospel to all people in which God has put in our life's path. As individuals, we can foster relationships with others who do not look like us to learn more about them and to learn from them. As a church, leaders must faithfully preach all of Scripture, because the Bible would constantly show why racial diversity and harmony should be pursued. Also, a church can pursue leaders who are ethnically different from their present core to gather wisdom on how to be more effective in serving other groups, especially those in their immediate communities. These are just a few practical steps, which the list can go on and on. But ultimately, we must understand that unity in the body of Christ must be pursued with great intention. After Paul goes into great detail of revealing what the mystery is, which is found in verse 6, which is that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, Paul shares the purpose of this revelation, which is that now this new man, both Jew and Gentile, now makes up the unified body of the church. And the church is the means by which God chooses to make known his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. After Paul goes in great detail to talk specifically what the mystery was and its purpose, now in verse 13, Paul abruptly reverts back to his thought related to verse 1. Paul says in verse 13, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Paul tells the people in verse 1 that he is a prisoner of the king. And in verse 13, he lets them know that he is proudly suffering for them as a shepherd would suffer for his sheep. In this part of Paul's letter in Ephesians chapter 3, we learn that we should all faithfully seek God's grace to know and understand the work of Christ. We learn that we must know the work of Christ to faithfully proclaim the riches of Christ. Doing all of this while being the people of Christ, different but yet united in mission, who make known God's manifold wisdom to all of God's creation, both in the physical and spiritual realms. To the believer of Christ, it is great news the mystery has been revealed. Jew and Gentile has been united unto one man. The wall of separation has been destroyed for once and for all, which means that we all are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ. We have peace and hope because of this and have a duty to share this truth with others. In addition, we are challenged to work towards breaking down the still present man-made barriers that we constantly put up that divide us from others who may not look like us. Regardless, we should seek the Lord's continual help to see the heart of a person and nothing else. To the unbeliever, this message was for you also. God, in his great plan, has torn down the wall of separation between you and him. This wall that has been created because of your sin. Through Jesus Christ, God's Son, who he sent to die on the cross for the sins of all of mankind and to pay the penalty of death, in which we all should have paid, that penalty is paid in full. Jesus paid the price. The question is, will you accept this free gift of salvation by surrendering your life to Jesus and making him Lord over your life? The wall has been torn down. Will you cross over from the side of sin and death to the side of obedience and everlasting life? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you deserve all the glory and praise. You did not have to make a way to bring us back in unity with yourself or use the body of believers, the church, and your divine plan to share your great wisdom to all, including in the heavenly realms. May we take this truth to heart and take pursuing unity with others in the body of Christ seriously. I pray this message was convicting, yet encouraging to all who may be listening. Let us be changed by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. Also, please come join us on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for our prayer meeting and Bible study at 17691 Holly's Church Road in Keller, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing be upon you and your family.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me wise. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.